Were any of you camped out in front of a store on Thanksgiving night? Well, there were a lot of people who were waiting for hours to get into Target or Walmart or Macy's. And even though I'm completely against this coming out on Thanksgiving Day and leaving the family gathering and leaving the fellowship of friends, there's actually one good thing that I could get out of that report about all these people going to the stores and camping out and waiting for hours. And that is, they had this state of attention. They were alert, and they had expectation. And it has a lot to do with today's gospel. Jesus ends today's gospel by saying, "What I say to you, I say to all. Watch." He's commanding us to be alert. To be alert means being active and passive at the same time. We actively pay attention, like those people in line at Target. You know, they're paying attention to that door as soon as that door is open, and they have this expectation something good's going to happen. They're going to get some great deals once they get inside that door. And Jesus is referring to something similar in terms of the attitude that he wants us to have. He wants us to be awake, to be sober, to be alert, and to expect something beautiful, something great is going to happen. Now, last Sunday's gospel spoke about the active side of the Christian life. This Sunday's gospel speaks more about the passive side. So the active side: feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the lonely, take care of the sick. And today's readings have this more passive message. The prophet Isaiah says, "You, O Lord, are a father. We are the clay, and you the potter. We are all the work of your hands." And then in the psalm, "Rouse your power and come to save us." So the clay is completely passive in the hands of the potter, allowing itself to be molded by the artist. Even though as much we have to do in order to live a good Christian life, in the final analysis, God does much, much more if we let him. That's why the responsorial psalm calls out to God saying, "Rouse your power and come to save us." God never forces his way into our lives. We have to invite him and invite him repeatedly. He always respects our freedom to say yes or no. These confirmation candidates here in the front rows are here tonight because they want to say yes. The invitation that Jesus makes to us to invite him into our lives, this waiting for him, this asking for him to come, increases desire for him within us. As I said, God only comes to those who recognize their need for him and who want him. Let's use the example of a drug addict. In order to be freed of his addiction, the addict must first recognize how miserable the addiction makes him, and that he can't be released from his habit unless something happens beyond his efforts. He has to make some efforts, of course. He has to avoid places where drugs are sold. He probably has to stay away from friends who used to invite him to take drugs. He has to make some decision about seeking help from a drug counselor or a good rehab program. So that's the active side of recovery. The passive side is even more important. The addict has to realize that he needs a higher power in order to become clean. When the addict begins to say with intensity, "Please help me, God, please. Please release me from this terrible obsession," then God is able to enter into the person's mind and body and spirit. God respects our freedom, and he waits for us until we want him, and then he manifests his power. During the season of Advent, we call out to God using a variety of beautiful scripture phrases. The responsorial psalm today: "Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved. Rouse your power and come to save us." We look forward to the coming of the Lord. As we pray after the consecration of the bread and wine, we proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again. The primary focus of that chant is the coming of Christ at the end of time, the second coming. But it also recalls to us that right after the consecration, Jesus Christ is present in a unique way on this altar under the form of bread and wine. And that phrase reminds us that daily we need to ask him to enter again into our lives, to free us from our fears and from our sins. The liturgy of the first Sunday of Advent focuses on the passive element of the Christian life, waiting with expectation for the Lord to help us, to heal us, to save us from all that makes us miserable. Now, sometimes I get into conversations with atheists and agnostics, especially when I go to receptions after weddings or sometimes the meal after a funeral, and there'll be family members who are not believers. And sometimes we'll get into these conversations about belief and unbelief. They're usually friendly. And one of the common questions they ask me is, how do you know God exists? You can't prove that God exists. And what I say to them is, there is experimental evidence, compelling experimental evidence that God lives. God is real. I said, all you have to do is talk to somebody who has encountered God. Talk to a drug addict or an alcoholic who's been through a 12-step program and who is unable to stop drinking or stop taking drugs through their own efforts and willpower, and then they finally let go and they finally accepted God into their lives. Hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of them have reported that finally they were able to be clean, finally able to be freed of the obsession to take the drugs or to drink. There's experimental evidence. There's something beyond the human person that can and will save us if we let that higher power. Now, we Christians know who is that higher power, Jesus Christ. And then I'll tell these atheists and agnostics, and if you're willing to do a little bit of research, just read a life of one of the thousands and thousands of great saints that we have in the Christian tradition. Saints are just like you and me. They have all the same human foibles and same human gifts. But they took a chance on God, and they completely opened up to God, and they were utterly changed, transformed human beings into some of those beautiful persons we've ever seen in human history. Experimental evidence that God is real. Jesus Christ is alive. These confirmation students are getting ready for another outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And if they receive the Holy Spirit with open hearts, with desire for another encounter, a deeper encounter with Jesus Christ, you will be changed. Just like the young man who spoke to us during the little session before Mass, he was speaking about his own experience of being just kind of lost and strung out on bad stuff. But finally, he began to open up to Christ. The day of his confirmation came. And he changed. He felt different. He was different. That's the promise that the Lord makes to us. Psalm 27 says, "Come, says my heart, seek God's face. Your face, Lord, do I seek." This is the biggest prayer we should make. There's plenty of other prayers that we should make, you know, praying for help and making good decisions, going to the right school, marrying the right person, making good decisions about our finances, whatever, all kinds of reasons why we should ask God for guidance and help. But there's a much bigger petition that we should make. And the biggest petition is, Lord, give me yourself. Help me to know you personally, intimately. Fill me with yourself. We should make that prayer regularly. God always answers that prayer. It's like Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be given to you as a matter of course."